Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Philippians, Bondservants of Jesus Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, a different perspective. Let's read those first couple of verses in that passage. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's greeting reflects his new spiritual perspective. He views himself as a bondservant, essentially a slave. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, he tells us, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your own body and in your spirit, which are God's." He views other Christians as saints. He viewed himself as a bondservant and slave. He views other Christians as saints, as pure and cleansed of sin. What a difference it would make if every Christian had this same perspective. What was Paul's perspective? That everything is in the context of Christ. Learn to see Christians as new creations, not those same old sinners, not those same old persons, but as new creations. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Paul's new perspective provokes a response toward other believers that is manifested in three ways. First, there is a special remembrance. Look at verse 3, down to verse 6. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Listen, do you know someone who was lost, was saved, and today continues to walk faithfully with the Lord? Well, Paul thought about the believers in Philippi, remembering them with joy and with prayer. Well, what was Paul's prayer? Well, he thanked God for their salvation and the work of grace in them. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." How do you remember Christians? In prayer? With thanks? With joy? Second, there is a godly affection. Verses 7 and 8. "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ." Consider Christians who occupy a special place in your heart that you're now separated from. Paul has them, the Philippians, in his heart. He has an affection for them. It's the love of Jesus Christ. It's an intense love. He states that God confirms that the love. Well, what is the apostles' motivation? They were ministered to by Paul in suffering and responded to his work in the gospel. Then they ministered to him. I always think of the place that I have in my heart for two people back in Miami, Jim and Susie Martin, who were a very important part of my new Christian walk. They were in my life before I became a Christian, and then they were very much in my life after I became a Christian. Encouraging and spending time with and discipling. I have a special place. And I often have a longing to enjoy fellowship with them again. I haven't seen them in 30 years. 32 years, actually. But they have a special place in my heart because of the part they had in my life as I became a new Christian. And as I began to grow as a Christian. And boy, I would just love to spend some time with them again. They're somewhere down in western Tennessee now. They moved from Miami. Again, are there special Christians in your heart that you are now separated to by physical distance? And third, there is a desire for maturity. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul had a goal of seeing spiritual growth in all Christians. He encouraged them to develop a deep love for Jesus Christ, a love that is expressed through obedience. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Paul prayed that our love may abound still more and more. What's the goal? Well, fruits of righteousness. It's a growth process in love, in knowledge, in discernment, in choices, in sincerity, and less sin. And all for God's glory. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, let me give you two questions about what Paul is saying in these verses. Two questions for you to give some thought to. What causes spiritual growth? Well, it's in verse 9. Knowledge and discernment. Well, what are your sources of wisdom? The Holy Spirit and the world. How do you know the right way? Well, Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of God, prayer and knowledge of God and the Bible. Paul had to deal with the heresy of Gnosticism, this whole idea of special revelation and knowledge from within. He had to deal with that. And that's what he was talking about in these verses. Because people were being taught false teachings that there were only certain ones who would receive a special knowledge and then they would pass it on to others. This still continues today in much of the faith movement. The health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. It's about some secret knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given to that individual person to give to others. No, we have God's Word. As we are in His Word, we grow in our knowledge of Him and our understanding of His ways. When do we reach maturity? So first, what causes spiritual growth? Well, it's knowledge and discernment, Paul tells us there in verse 9. And when do we reach maturity? Well, look at verse 10 again. Till the day of Christ. Why does Paul use that phrase? Well, because spiritual growth must be active. And it must continue until the moment that we see Jesus. Listen, beware of spiritual pride. Thinking that there's nothing more for you to learn or to apply. Listen, anyone who puts himself off as having arrived, as having become spiritually mature and there's nowhere else to go, beware of them. Be careful of them. Because we don't stop growing spiritually until that moment that we are in Christ's presence in eternity and there's no more need for spiritual growth. You give thought to that, and you have a great day.